Let me preface that though by saying that most accountants and most financial planners have no clue when it comes to Bitcoin. So when you go and speak to them, they're not going to be able to give you the advice because they don't even know about the Bitcoin asset. I'm talking from actual experience. I have moved every single cent of my super fund, under an industry super fund in Australia, all over to Bitcoin. A crypto exchange that I use is SwiftX. Founders Alex Harper and Angus Goldman are doing incredible things there. Go check them out. Ask them some questions, some really basic questions about Bitcoin. And if they don't know the answer, then I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Crypto Collective. After making millions with Amazon and e-commerce, I realized that if I was starting again today, crypto would be my first choice. I'm here to help you take your first steps and build real wealth. Ready to set yourself up for life? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the podcast Crypto Collective. It's great to have you here. My name is Matthew Fraser. I'm an eight-figure entrepreneur, having made tons of money, over $50 million in sales through Amazon and e-commerce, but now heavily invested into crypto, mainly Bitcoin. And I'm going to talk to you in this episode about something that is so controversial. You're going to have to listen to every single part of this right to the very end, because it's about transferring all of your current superannuation all into Bitcoin, right? I know you probably got your jaws on the floor right now, but I will tell you from the outset, this is not something that I'm just talking about that you may or may not do, or myself. I'm talking from actual experience. I have moved every single cent of my super fund, under an industry super fund in Australia, all over to Bitcoin. And I'm going to tell you the exact steps of how I was able to do that, and perhaps if you should consider something like this. And again, this is not financial advice, but something for you to consider together with your accountant or financial planner. Let me start off by posing the question of, why would I even do this in the first place? Why would I want to take something that is considered in Australia so sacred and, I guess, secure for my retirement and move it into something which many consider to be a volatile asset? And I'll tell you why just in the numbers, first of all. My industry super fund over the last 20 years has given a return of between 7% and 8%, okay? For most people, that sounds great. Yeah, and if you're happy with that, then you can stop listening to this and just keep your super fund there, right, and move on. Bitcoin, however, over the past 4 years has done an average compounding interest of 55%. This is insane. It has been the best performing asset over the last decade. In fact, just this year alone, in 2024, it's done over 100%, right? Crazy, crazy numbers. The reason why it's so powerful right now and could give you generational wealth is because the everyday people now have an opportunity to front run this asset, meaning that in the past, when companies went to the stock exchange, they went public, traditionally, the elites had first dibs at the shares, okay? And we, as the everyday folk, we kind of got the scraps. We found out about it much later, or once the price has already gone up and once all the elites had made all the money. With Bitcoin, it's a ground-up approach rather than the traditional market, which is a top-down approach. That's why it's so powerful. And in just this year alone, the SEC, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission, in the USA, approved the Bitcoin ETF. And what that really did was it legitimized Bitcoin as a serious asset in the global space, along with other assets like gold, bonds, equities, silver, right? Wine and paintings, for example, property, you can't miss out property. And now there's Bitcoin. So now the average investor can do two things. They can buy Bitcoin directly, or they can now buy Bitcoin through an ETF, which is an exchange-traded fund, right? And as soon as America started this ETF in the beginning of 2024, other countries then decided that they now had to do it as well, right? Like Australia, we can't even think for ourselves, right? We had to always wait for America to lead the way. And so other countries have now done this as well. So now you as an investor can front run all the other big players. Now there are, as of this year, companies, nation states, and governments, particularly companies, have already started to buy into Bitcoin. But now, as we speak, at the end of 2024 and leading into 2025, governments and nation states and other major corporations are now FOMOing, yeah, fear of missing out, into Bitcoin. And so this is coming to you as an urgent message now, because if you want to front run those nation states and governments, you need to get in quick. Because what's going to happen is once the governments start buying up, the price will go up. So you can get in much cheaper, even though right now we are at all-time highs in the Bitcoin price. But despite that, there's a long way to go and a lot of growth to see into the future, in my opinion. All right, so let's say that you are someone that has just listened to what I said and you think, you know what, I want to know more about this. What are the exact steps that I would need to do in order to move my superannuation over to Bitcoin? And let me just say this too. You might do some numbers and figure out that, hey, I don't want to move all of my super over into Bitcoin. Perhaps it's something that you want to do a part of your super. So if you've got $400,000 sitting in super, maybe you move $50,000 into Bitcoin or $100,000. This would be completely up to you and what you decide to do. So step number one is obviously speak to an accountant and maybe even speak to a financial planner about this particular move. Let me preface that though by saying that most accountants and most financial planners have no clue when it comes to Bitcoin. So when you go and speak to them, they're not going to be able to give you the advice because they don't even know about the Bitcoin asset, yeah, and what the returns are. So I would say go and do your own research first, and then perhaps if you have to sit down with your accountant and a financial planner, ask them some questions, some really basic questions about Bitcoin. And if they don't know the answer, then you maybe don't want to get the advice from them because they don't know what they're talking about. For me personally, I have not gone to see a financial planner because what I have found is that unless that financial planner is a multi-millionaire, I don't want to get advice from them about financial planning. Take that as you will, right? So the first step is go seek advice from one of those people if you want to. You then need to set up a self-managed super fund. Very common in Australia. It's really simple to do. And it's creating a separate legal entity, right? Separate to your existing super fund, okay? Your industry super fund. Now, once you have that legal entity set up, there'll be a bunch of paperwork to fill in, and it will be your responsibility, perhaps together with your accountant, to manage that self-managed super fund ongoing. And all that means is it's not daunting. All it means is you'll just provide some paperwork. It's exactly, if you're in business, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's exactly like doing a tax return every single year, right? In fact, even if you're not self-employed, you still might be an employee, PAYG, and still do a yearly tax return. That's all it is, right? So you'll work with your accountant, do some paperwork, submit it to the tax office, right? And that's so the tax office can just make sure that you're meeting the rules and regulations as per the super fund. If you set up a self-managed super fund, you must be very, very clear in the sense that you cannot dip into those funds, okay? So once you move your funds out of your industry fund into your SMSF, it's segregated, okay? You cannot touch the funds at all. So you can't just move some money over and say, oh, actually, I think I want to just go on a holiday quickly and just pull some money out or I just want to buy a new car just quickly because I need some cash right now. You cannot do that. It's against the rules and you could get into a lot of trouble, including big fines from the tax office if you do that. Second to that though, you don't actually want to touch the funds. The point of your super fund is to have money when you retire. So that is the premise of it. But what we're trying to do is get better returns than what your existing fund is already offering, okay, by moving it over into Bitcoin. Now, before you contact your accountant, I want to give you two examples of people who can set up a self-managed super fund. One is going to be a sophisticated investor, what the government or the tax office considers to be a sophisticated investor. That's what they call them. In order to qualify as a sophisticated investor, you must have one of two things, one being earning $250,000 a year or have $2.5 million in net assets, okay? If you are under that, then you are qualified as a non-sophisticated investor, okay? Basically, you don't know what you're doing with your money. The way the government sees it is that if you don't have that type of money, then they want you to seek financial planning advice because they believe you've got little money, a little amount of money, and therefore it's more precious. The way I see it though is because you've probably got a smaller amount of money than someone who's got over 2.5 million assets, for example, you need to make some drastic changes. Yeah, you need to actually invest in things that are going to power your super more than just the standard industry fund anyway. So that is something to note. If you qualify as a sophisticated investor, you can go straight to an accountant to set up your super fund, yeah, get all the paperwork done. If you're not a sophisticated investor, if you don't qualify for that, then you're expected to go seek advice from a financial planner. Now, that is going to cost you about $4,000 or $5,000 to do that. So it's a big whack of cash. If you go directly to an accountant, they're going to range probably around the $2,000 to $3,000 mark to just set up the self-managed super fund legal entity. And you will still have to spend that much money as well, likely, even if you go through the financial planning way. Now, if you're someone though who does not want to seek a financial planner like myself, even though I would even qualify that anyway. So if you are a non-sophisticated investor and you do not want to seek financial planning advice, there is a way to get around that and save you $4,000 or $5,000. And that is to go to an online self-managed super fund company where they can set it up for you hand in hand directly. That will save you having to go also through to an accountant for the time being. And these are all over the internet. So just simply go to Google, type in self-managed super fund online setup, and there'll be a range of companies that can help you get that super fund set up. So step two, after you've contacted and got advice from your accountant and a financial planner potentially, you'll need to think about your super fund, your self-managed super fund name entity. Now, this is where you can make it up. You can do some research of this by using ASIC to find out if the name exists or not. But my advice to you is try and keep the name as simple as possible, right? Something like Smith Super Pty Ltd as trustee for Smith Super Trust. Now that might sound complicated, but it's not Mary and Jack Smith Super Fund Pty Ltd, et cetera, et cetera, right? You're gonna just keep it Smith Super Pty Ltd, et cetera. This is really, really important because once you contact your industry super fund to pull, let's say $100,000 or all of your money out, the names will need to match. So what you write in the form to this industry super fund needs to match what is now lodged through to the tax office. And it turns out the tax office only has a certain amount of characters that they can enter into the system. And then therefore there might be a disparity between the two, the details. Then of course, it also comes down to the bank, because once you get your name set up, you're then going to set up a bank account and those details have to match with the tax office as well. So it can get quite complicated in that sense. I went through so much pain myself. That's why I'm making this a point in this podcast, is because mine was a little bit more complicated. And so it took me months. It was a horror story, basically. It took me months to try and get the money out because continually the names didn't match. And even though I'd called the tax office, I'd called the industry super fund, they would just say, oh, look, you need to speak to the tax office. And just, it was just like this merry-go-round. No one could really tell you what the problem was. And so because the names didn't match, they wouldn't release the funds. Okay, that's the short version. So once you get that sorted out, you can now move on to step three. So step three is you've now got your self-managed super fund already established, okay? You've got the documents. You'll now need to go to a bank and set up a bank account. This is simple. My advice is use a company such as Macquarie or ANZ. Now, this is really, really important because some banks don't like it when you transfer money from your existing bank account over to the crypto exchange, okay? They may put blocks on it. They may not do it at all. They may hold your funds for days on end. And so you don't want to have to go through that. So in my experience, Macquarie or ANZ are today the best banks to use. Although by the time you listen to this video, it might be a year or two down the track, things could have changed. So just do some research as to what is the most crypto-friendly bank in Australia. If you find that you've actually started to move some money over to a bank and they put a block on it, what will happen generally is they will call you. They'll start asking you a ton of questions about what you're doing with your money. They'll assume that you're getting scammed. They'll assume that you have no idea what you're doing. And the funny thing is, they'll always ask you, Where are you sending this money? Even though very clearly, once you've started to send over money to the exchange, it says it. They know exactly where you're sending it to. They just want you to say it. I would say just jump through the hoops that they want you to jump through initially, because what could happen is they'll end up releasing the funds so you can send it to your exchange. And what I would tell the bank then is, hey, listen, I'm going to be sending more money over to the exchange, right? So please do not put any more blocks on my account. I know exactly what I'm doing. And hopefully, like in my case, I can send tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars over to the exchange now, and I don't get a single call and no blocks. It actually transfers the exact same day, within minutes, in fact. Okay, so once you've set up your bank account with your self-managed super fund entity, you'll now want to go over to an exchange, a crypto exchange, to set up an account with them. Now, personally, I use SwiftX. SwiftX is based in Australia. It's under Australian regulations. They're actually sitting up in Brisbane. There's a team of them up there that you can actually make phone calls to and speak to real people. So they're really, really helpful. And that's why I love dealing with them. Once you've set up your exchange under your self-managed super fund entity, you'll then be ready to start your very first transfer. Okay, so we're going to transfer. This is where we're up to now. You've now moved your money from your industry super fund over to your bank account. Okay, now that, as I said before, might be ANZ or Macquarie or whoever you decide to bank with. Now you're ready to send money from the bank account to the exchange. But I don't want you to start sending tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in the very beginning. You're going to want to do a test order. Now, if you get an account with SwiftX, they're going to give you a BSB and account number. That's how simple it is. Okay, so you can go onto your net banking and transfer, in my opinion, $50 or maximum $100 just as your very first transfer into the exchange, just so you can get used to it. Make sure the money arrives in the SwiftX or crypto exchange account. Once you've done that, jump through some hoops with your bank in Australia to tell them why you're not getting scammed. Once all that's ironed out, then start transferring as much money as you can, because your daily limit, for example, might be $50,000 or $20,000 with your bank. Just start moving that over. There is another way to do it if you wanted to. You could actually go into the bank branch itself and ask them, do a TT, telegraphic transfer, where they're going to move all of your super into your exchange account in one hit. That could be something for you to do, although I'm no doubt the bank will want to charge you $30 or something to do that. So guys, some people make the mistake by thinking that because you're transferring money into a crypto exchange, that you don't have to go through the horrible KYC process. KYC standing for Know Your Customer. Now, this is something that's implemented by the Australian government. It's not actually the SwiftX exchange, for example. They don't really want to go through that process. It's a government thing. Yes, it's a bit of overreach, but you're going to have to go through the process in order to take advantage of this type of opportunity of buying Bitcoin. So you'll have to provide your personal ID. You'll have to provide information on where you got your funds, which will be obviously from your existing industry super fund. And once you've done all that, it's like a one-time thing. I would then also advise you to go through and do a gold verification process, which basically allows you to send in as much money as possible. And in the future, if you decide that you want to sell the Bitcoin, then you could also do that, transfer the money back out into your bank account without any restrictions or hiccups. Okay, so once you've made your purchase of Bitcoin, the Bitcoin is now sitting on the exchange, okay? And now you could leave it there if you want to. I take things one step further and I take what's called self-custody of the Bitcoin. So I remove the Bitcoin off the exchange and now I'm now holding it in what's called in cold wallet storage. Now this is something for you to investigate. Go onto YouTube, look for cold wallet storage videos. I use different types of cold wallet devices, Trezor, Ledger are just two examples. There's another one I use, ColdCard. And what it does is it essentially protects your wealth in Bitcoin against counterparty risk. The counterparty risk is that if you hold all of your Bitcoin within the exchange, there is the very, I would say in Australia, probably a very highly unlikely possibility that that exchange goes bankrupt. There's a bad actor there who siphons out the money, it gets hacked. Unfortunately, over the past 10 years, though, these things have happened, yeah, to other exchanges around the world. So it's just a precaution to make sure that you can protect your wealth, and it is generational wealth, and in this case, retirement wealth for you, okay? It's not that difficult. So jump onto YouTube, research cold wallet storage, and that may be something to think about once you've bought the Bitcoin on the exchange. Hey, just quickly, if you're ready to dive deeper into crypto and Bitcoin and build real wealth, join my free crypto collective community. It's where I share exclusive insights and strategies and live discussions to help you succeed, whether you're a beginner or scaling your portfolio. Click on the link in the description and join us today. Now back to the episode. Okay, guys. You're really getting an overview now of this self-managed super fund setup for Bitcoin. There's a bit of more paperwork that you've got to do, and that is back to what I said in the very beginning about maintaining records. So basically doing like a tax return every single year. But what could make this a lot simpler for you is to use some of this online software that is available for crypto and Bitcoin. One of the companies that I personally use is called Coinly, that's spelled with a K. I'll leave a link in the description to that company. You may want to use them. What they do is they make it so simple. So you simply can connect your cold wallet or your exchange to this software. And at the end of the financial year, when you have to do the report, you can literally just go and just like press a button and it'll print out a full tax report for you that you can then give to your accountant. It makes your life so much easier, and I highly recommend you do. So just some further notes to think about when setting up your self-managed super fund is now, if you're getting paid by an employer, you must make sure that they now don't send money to your old super industry fund. Like if that's what you're still operating, if you've closed it down, then you don't want to send it there. Okay, guys, so one of the last steps that you must remember to do is to actually tell your existing employer, whether it's if you're self-employed or your PAYG employer, to make sure that they don't send funds to an old super account. Now, if you kept your old account going because you might have left some money in there, no problem. You might want to just keep sending it there. But if you've now got your self-managed super fund set up, you must remember to give them your bank details. So this would be the ANZ or the Macquarie, for example, that I mentioned before. Give them those BSB and account details so the funds will go directly into that account. If you want to then continue to buy Bitcoin, you can. So what I do is I receive my funds from myself, because I pay myself a salary, I pay my own super. So the super fund, the money itself, the AUD money goes into my bank account. And then this is every month. So therefore I transfer the money from my bank into the exchange, buy more Bitcoin, and then I transfer that Bitcoin into my own self storage. So guys, that basically wraps up this episode. But before I finish it completely, I want to answer some really, really good questions. And these questions have come through from within my crypto collective community, and I'm going to answer them right here for you so you can learn as well. Okay, so the very first question is, once I've bought Bitcoin, do I have to hold it forever? And the answer is no, you don't have to hold it forever. Let's just say that you've bought the Bitcoin today, and in 5 or even 10 years time, for whatever reason, you've decided that this vehicle of this asset vehicle is not right for you. And you now want to sell the Bitcoin and move that money into another different asset. Now, it might even be back into the old super industry super fund if you wanted to, or you might decide, hey, I want to now invest in property. I want to buy property in the super fund. That could be a good way for you to diversify, another way to diversify your self-managed super if you wanted to. So keep in mind though, once you sell an asset, there may be tax implications in doing that. So make sure you speak to your accountant about selling the Bitcoin and what tax may be applicable to you before you do it. All right, the next question is about how much gains could I see if I convert my super into Bitcoin? Now this is, I'll tell you what, probably the most common question, because people want to know like, okay, look, I know what I'm going to get in my industry super fund, but Matt, how much money am I actually going to make? Well, we can only know what's been done in the past, and we can only predict the future based on the past, right? So it may be more or it may be less. So take this as you will and make sure you do your own research. I'm going to give you some numbers anyway. So let's just say you've got $500,000 in super, okay? And at the current industry super rate, it's between 7 and 8. Let's say it's 8%. Now, in my particular case, I'm 45. So my retirement age at this rate is going to be 65. So let's say 20 years time. So over 20 years, And I'm also putting in about $5,000 a month into super. So we'll add another $5,000 a month contribution. So my $500,000 by the time I'm 65 is expected to be, and this is just leaving it in the industry super fund, okay, is going to be about $5.5 million. That may be fantastic for you, but just keep in mind of what $5.5 million is going to get you in 20 years. It's probably not going to be much, to be honest. Now, let's say you move all of that $500,000 over to Bitcoin. Right now, there's a range of views about what the return or the compounding interest rate will be over the next 20 years. Michael Saylor, who's a very, very famous Bitcoin evangelist, if you're not familiar with him, Michael Saylor, S-A-Y-L-O-R, go check him out on YouTube. He's predicting 29%. Now, I just want to preface this again. The last decade has been over 60% average. The last 4 years has been 55% average. And this year in 2024, it's already been over 100%. Okay, so let me just say that. So 29% moving forward over the next 20 years is, I would say, low. But let's just use 29%. If you put that same money in, the $500,000, your expected investment in 20 years is going to be $217 million. Okay, that is unbelievable. Let's say, though, that it does what I think it's going to do. And some people are saying it could be even upwards of 50% average compounding interest. Let's just say 40%. Let's go in the middle. 40% would mean your investment would be $1.7 billion. I know what you're thinking, right? It's going to be ridiculous. But like I said, over the past year, it's been 100% alone. And after 4 years, 55%. So 40%. Is not unrealistic. Just for some more numbers real quick. Let's say you're a much younger person, right? You're in your 30s. You've got $150,000 already in super. We'll go back to our 29%. So let's say you've got another 10, 15. So you've got 35 years, let's say, until you retire. And remember, with any type of investment, it's time in the market rather than timing the market, right? It's the compounding interest effect over time that really matters. I'm going to say you've got $150,000 now. I'm going to say you put in no more money into Bitcoin whatsoever. Let's see what the return would be or what the investment value would be in 35 years' time. It would be $3.4 billion. That's starting with $150,000 and not putting a single cent in, providing it did 29% average over 35 years, right? Even if we said, look, Matt, it's not going to do 29%, it's going to do 20%. That will make it $155 million. Now, if you want to do your own calculations, I will leave a link in the description for the compound interest calculator. You can go to the App Store, download it yourself, and start typing in your own numbers to see what type of investment growth you could see for your own situation. All right, guys, the next question came up about ongoing fees with a self-managed super fund. Now, if you do your own research online, you'll see some varying information. But yes, there is ongoing fees with a self-managed super fund. I would say in my case, it's about $3,000 to $4,000 a year ongoing. And you'll also see information that, hey, if you've got under $100,000 in super, for example, then you should not bring that over to a self-managed super fund. But the reason why that information is there is not to do with the fees, right? It's to do with the fact that if you left it in existing traditional assets, then the fees would be potentially too great, okay? And it wouldn't be worthwhile. However, what they don't take into account is if you put that $100,000 or less into Bitcoin, they haven't figured that bit out yet because we can predict what the returns are going to be, what the compounding interest rate is going to be, right? Which is going to completely smash your $3,000 or $4,000 a year in fees. So that's why it's really important to consider the fees. But in my opinion, I would put the $100,000 in or less into Bitcoin. Okay, guys, I really hope you've enjoyed that episode. I know at times it was a little bit detailed. If you're not writing down notes, but you actually want to have the exact step-by-step guide, feel free to come into my online community. It's absolutely free. You can come and get the guide of setting up a self-managed super fund is the Bitcoin Blueprint. It's absolutely free in there. You can access it, follow along the steps. You can even ask me more questions within the community. Okay, so find the link in the description. The other thing I want to finalize on too is, if you want to find out more information, I always get this question, is what books should I read? This one here right now is called Bitcoin Evangelism. This is probably one of my most recent books, and it's absolutely fantastic. And the Bible of Bitcoin information would be this one here. It's called The Bitcoin Standard. Thank you so much, guys. Again, hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you've got any more questions, leave them in the comments. And thank you so much. See you on the next episode. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to Crypto Collective. If you've enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or Spotify, and make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more of me at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms.